our next guest is known as a connoisseur of pain, but it's not the pain that motivates him, it's the science. Justin O. Schmidt is an entomologist who specializes in stinging insects, things like ants and beetles and wasps.
As part of his research, Schmidt wanted to get a handle on just how painful the stings of various insects can be, and I guess there's only one way to find out. Not that he always got stung on purpose, but what he learned he added to his working pain index, recording the data for science.
Justin O. Schmidt joins us now. He's a biologist at Southwestern Biological Institute and is an affiliate with the Department of Entomology at the University of Arizona. He's the author of the new book called The Sting of the Wild, the story of the man who got stung for science. Justin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So I got to ask you, there's this picture in your book, in your book jacket photo, of you with an enormous ant, a really big ant on your nose. What kind of ant is it?
Yeah, that's kind of fun because many people assume, since I talk quite a bit about the bullet ant, which is a very charismatic, large ant, that this is a bullet ant, but there's no way I would be that silly to have a bullet ant nose. That would be, I think I would need to be checked into an institution to do that. That's actually what I call a gentle giant. It's Deinoponera. Think of it as in dinosaur, you know, very big. It's the world's largest ant. And they really are incredibly difficult to get stung by them. So they're, you know, the nice fuzzy teddy bears, so to speak, of the ant world.
Well, you study less happy fuzzy teddy bears of the insect world. When did you get first fascinated with insects that sting?
I think when I was a kid, I was growing up in fields very much like Wisconsin where I was born, but I actually moved to Pennsylvania with my family. We had old fields and weeds and beautiful butterflies and stinging insects and lots of wasps. And I was just intrigued. You know, they seemed so carefree and happy, and they flitted about not a care in the world. And I just thought, wow, what a wonderful lifestyle.
Well, give us a sense of the kinds of insects that we're talking about. I mean, most people, you know, in Wisconsin, we know about bees, we know about wasps. What's the sense of the breadth of these insects?
In places like Wisconsin, you're actually a mecca for wasps, yellow jackets. So you can cherish that you're one of the best places in the nation for yellow jackets. I imagine not all people share my enthusiasm for them. But you have lots of different species of yellow jackets and bald-faced hornets and, of course, honeybees. And you have lots of little native bees, which are kind of inconspicuous most of the time. But if you take a little bit of time and look at the flowers, you see, who is that funny little bee that's coming in? Some of them will have yellow pollen on their abdomen, some on their legs, and these are just some of the beautiful pollinating and stinging insects that make our everyday lives so important.
Well, Justin, before we get a taste of the pain involved in some of these stings, I want to ask about the evolution behind these stinging insects. How did it come to be that these certain categories of insects develop these potent stings?
What happened was, if you're a small insect and you don't have anything to defend, it's kind of like if you're on the street and a mugger comes up, what do? You'll kind of run away, you know, try to escape. You're not going to likely fight back. But if you're pushing a baby buggy and you have something very valuable, your family with you, and they can't run, then you're gonna stay and fight, or at least try to. It's the same kind of thing with insects, the stinging insects. The social ones that live in colonies have their babies right in the colony, and of course they're little grub-like white things usually, and they can't run or fly or crawl away. So you're pretty much faced with either you lose your family or you've got to fight back, and the sting and the venom is a really good way to fight back against somebody who's attacking you and your family.
And sometimes the sting is used to feed the family too, right? I read about an insect that you write about where the caterpillar is stung and then the wasp lays its larva inside the paralyzed caterpillar.
Exactly. In fact, that was how most of the venoms originally evolved, that they were solitary individuals and they used them for catching prey. You can imagine a caterpillar is not what we usually think of as very dangerous prey, but caterpillars have strong jaws. You know, they chew on tough leaves and plants and things. And if they're not paralyzed and you lay an egg in a cell where your young is going to eat the caterpillar, it might just get eaten by the caterpillar instead. So you really want to sting and paralyze it. So that was the original use of most of the venoms, were for catching prey for feeding to their young.
We're talking to entomologist Justin O. Schmidt. He's been stung by the best, most of the stinging insects out there. He's written a new book, The Sting of the Wild, The Story of the Man Who Got Stung for Science. So, Justin, what made you decide, hey, if we want to understand the pain of the stinging insect, you would be the guinea pig to help us understand that and create a chart about it?
It turned out I was basically a chemist when I started out in the field, and I was looking at the chemistry of the venoms and thought, wow, what interesting biochemistry. These things are really potent. And so I was looking at them, and then as I was doing the investigation of the chemistry, well, you just kind of happen to get stung. And I realized, oh, there's more than just simple chemistry going on here. There's some pain involved in this. And I just learned that the hard way. So as I was comparing the chemistry of different stinging insects, and along the way I was getting periodically stung by some of these things, and I would kind of take mental notes and write them down in my notebooks of how they hurt and how they felt relative to other ones. So after a while, I started getting enough of these and said, hey, this is data. What can I do with this data? And that was where the genesis of the sting pain scale, you know, happened.
Well, let's talk about an ant you've mentioned already. This is a serious guy, the bullet ant. You call him the holy grail of stinging insects. Well, what is a bullet ant sting like?
A bullet ant is the translation, literal translation from the Spanish of bala, which is, of course, bullet in Spanish. And it's kind of, you get the impression you're in the rainforest and you're just enjoying, you know, walking along or doing whatever you're doing, watching birds. And it feels like, good grief, what just shot my ankle? You find that here was this bullet ant that had crawled up your boot and gotten into your ankle and stung you. And it's been recorded through naturalists for over 100 years of how this is the most frightening creature that they ran into in the forest. Never mind that there's dangerous snakes which could kill you, and maybe crocodiles and things that could be a serious harm. Most of the concern was about these bullet ants because of the incredible pain that they produce.
You rank this as a 4 out of 4 on the pain chart. You describe it, your verbal description is pure, intense, brilliant pain, like walking over flaming charcoal with a 3-inch nail embedded in your heel. That doesn't sound fun.
No, it's not. And I don't know anybody who's voluntarily been stung by a bullet ant. I suppose we'll probably find some people people are much braver and more adventurous than I, who might have done that. But most of the people who have been stung, it's inadvertent. Like I was stung because, being interested in the chemistry, I can't get my material from one or two ants. I have to get many, many ants, often hundreds. And when you're digging up and disturbing a colony, well, they kind of take umbrage at that, and they come out and try to defend themselves. And you got this swarm of dozens of ants charging around trying to get a chunk of your hide, and sooner or later one of them does. So that's how I got stung. But other people would be botanists, and they'd be tearing up into logs, you know, trying to find the roots of some plant, or they'd be looking in leaves, and they're not paying attention to, well, they're botanists, you know, they're not concerned about the insects and all. Well, there just happens to be a bullet ant that's living in that same area, and it gets disturbed and again, will sting you.
Well, we have to talk about one that's really far at the painful end of the spectrum on your pain scale. This is one called the tarantula hawk wasp. Sounds like it combines a whole lot of potent critters there. Tell us about the tarantula hawk wasp, because you've had some close encounters with these ones.
Tarantula hawk wasps are fascinating. Unfortunately, you don't have them in Wisconsin.
Darn.
And I say unfortunately because they're truly beautiful insects. They're some of the most spectacular, make any of the gorgeous butterflies or moths. You know, I think they can compete with them. They're about 2 inches long, and they have gunmetal blue-black bodies and these brilliant red or orange, sometimes yellow wings. Some of them will actually have black wings. There's several hundred species of them worldwide, mostly in the warm tropics. And they are completely harmless to us. They'll never sting you unless you actually grab one. So you can watch them. It's about as safe watching a tarantula hawk as watching a house wren in your backyard. You know, it's not going to attack you or anything unless you actually go and grab it. But, boy, if you do go and grab it, it's, like you said, it's absolutely electrifying, debilitating. It just shuts you down, and next thing you know, you're just screaming, which I recommend heartily to just scream because there's not much else you can do, and you might as well enjoy a good vent while you're at it. And it'll go away in 2 or 3 minutes, so then you can kind of pick yourself up and kind of dust yourself off and try to go on with life.
Justin, I got to ask very briefly before we let you go, is there something you haven't been stung by yet that you feel you should check out?
There's a number of stinging insects. There's some ants in the Congo, which the problem with getting there is that it's so difficult to get there and so risky with, you know, all the instability politically. There's some that live in trees and defend them from herbivores like giraffes and elephants and antelope and those sorts of things. And they're reputed to be really fierce stingers. And there's some wasps in the western Amazonas, Peru, Ecuador, western Brazil. It's just a haven, wonderful place for all kinds of social wasps.
And Justin, we'll leave it there. And good luck getting stung by these horrible, horrible insects. That's Justin O. Schmidt, biologist at the Southwestern Biological Institute. He's the author of the new book, The Sting of the Wild, The Story of the Man Who Got Stung for Science.